Brandy and Honey with RT is a personal reflection from Dr. Harry Hagopian on the late Turkum II, Armenian Patriarch of Jerusalem. Dr. Hagopian is an international lawyer, ecumenical advisor, and political analyst on the Middle East, North Africa region.
"You know where I keep the key to the Armenian brandy cabinet," he would say smilingly. "So why don't you get the bottle and I'll ask for our tea with honey? Then you can ask me your latest questions." An innocuous request, almost ill-fitting if the truth be told, when writing a personal reflection about the late patriarch. However, this tongue-in-cheek conversation that we had so many times over a number of years in his office depicts to me a side to the late patriarch that was not always visible behind the rigors of his office, but one that was nonetheless still there. A sense of wit, mischievous fun, and engagement with others on an unburdening level that sat alongside his more austere and official functions as a spiritual leader of the Armenian community and as the second-ranking church leader in Jerusalem, according to the very strict hierarchy applied by all 13 traditional churches of the Holy Land. This was the man who shepherded me alongside the Latin Rite Catholic Patriarch of Jerusalem during those years when I was based in Jerusalem, first as Director of the Middle East Council of Churches, then as Coordinator of the Jerusalem Interchurch Committee, and finally as second-track negotiator during the Oslo-led talks between Israel and the Palestinians. Mind you, ever the consummate diplomat, he never liked to be blunt about politics, often counseled me to draw back before forging forward, and on many occasions tried to trace a middle way between Israeli and Palestinian positions, whilst also acknowledging the political proclivities and deep sympathies of his community. One would enter into his office and be instantly surrounded by swirls of files and papers, with him sat at his desk, a magnifying glass in his hand, checking the documents in his in-tray. I often teased him that he would have surely learned the art of delegation in the USA, but he was as punctilious about his choice of words as he was about his statements. Many a time we opened the Oxford Dictionary together to make sure that I had not overstated my case by using an inappropriate word. Numerous people have written extensively about his wide range of personal interests and pursuits, whether in the publication of his books and monographs, including those on poetry under the pen name Shen Mah, or else his diligent translation into Armenian of William Shakespeare's 154 sonnets. However, what always lit up his eyes instantly was any mention of the prodigious Gomidas, since the patriarch was one of the experts on this composer and his musicology. But then, Gomidas was not only an Armenian priest and gifted composer. He was also deeply traumatized by the horrors of the Armenian genocide. What he saw made him lose his sanity, and I believe this fact played also into Patriarch Turkum's own psyche. After all, he was born in the desert of Ba'quba, not far from Baghdad, and was an orphaned product of this first genocide of the 20th century. In Gomidas, he saw a kindred spirit, and in Gomidas, he also realized his potential as a visionary who could think out of the box. The late patriarch, 96th in line in an Armenian Jerusalem that spans 1,500 years, was a determined reformer, and trust me, Jerusalem needs reform badly, who often told me that the more he achieved, the more he realized the enormity of the task ahead. But with that sense of reform came also the kind wisdom that was at times misinterpreted as sternness, aloofness, or even arrogant ostentation. Yet in this man also lay the genes of a caring shepherd who sought to love and to be loved, and who was ready to forgive the transgressions of others, even when he fully realized that he failed at times to go the extra mile himself. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why he was so careful in his relationships with others. He knew what it meant to hurt or to be hurt, and so endeavored often to exercise his impossible gift of love. What I see in the late patriarch is not only his stature as one of the leaders of a history-rich Armenian church, or even one of its outstanding ecumenical leaders who blossomed every time he welcomed church representatives, diplomats, guests, and pilgrims in that big hall adjoining his office. Nor is it merely the man whose experiences across the USA and the Holy Land allowed him to offer so much to his church. After all, he is of a generation that is, alas, slowly but surely dying out. Rather, what I recall more than that is his sense of humor, his diffidence and confidence in alternate measures, his ability to feel the pulse of a situation, even if he were unable to do much to change it, and his staunch loyalty for Jerusalem as much as his equally staunch but generous loyalty to friends. Yet, I also felt the loneliness that beset him, especially in the late afternoons when I visited him, and the humanity of a man whose office at times overwhelmed him. Once the Oslo process for peace between Israel and the Palestinians ended in failure, and I opted to leave Jerusalem for London, the late patriarch decided to join hands with his fellow church leaders to celebrate together my time in the Holy City, launch my booklet, The Armenian Church in the Holy Land, and lift up my attempts at fostering ecumenism in the land of too many old and new prophets. As I told him that I was chuffed by that kindness bestowed upon me, he looked at me, again smilingly, and said, "Yes, Harry, but you know that there will be no brandy or honey at this reception." Many words have been said or written about the late patriarch. Only a couple of days ago, the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches in Geneva sent his letter of condolences, in which he quoted St. John from the New Testament, that those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. True, but I want to quote another prayer by St. Gregory of Narek, who wrote, "Faith, that happy and favored word, which lasts forever untarnished and unbounded, honored together with charity and hope, brings the rewards of truly clear vision, perfect wisdom, acquaintance with God, and familiarity with the exalted. I offer this prayer, this sun sash of daily inspiration, as a friend calls it, to the late patriarch as a token of humble, happy, and also healthy memories of our many, many, many experiences together. Mind you, if he were now sitting next to me and read what I have just written, he'd look at me, chuckle, and say, 'Harry, you're showing off again, aren't you?' Indeed, I am perhaps showing off to a friend, recently departed but always present, who was at times overrated and at others underrated, but who did his honest and level best for the church. In our conversations, I often quoted to him, somewhat cheekily I must admit, one of my favorite maxims in the Armenian church, that unity applies for essentials, liberty for doubtful matters, and charity for all things. It is a fitting final thought for the man who at times deliberately fumbled his words and who has now wedded himself with eternity. The old inevitably leads to the new. Astvads Hokin Lusavore.